We are a people who seeks to know Jesus the Christ. And in knowing, we become more of who we are meant to be. The days leading up to Jesus' birth in the nation of Israel were very, very dark ones for the Jewish people. They were actually beaten down and oppressed by a power that had taxed them to the degree where they could barely live anymore. And a regime that bore no dissension from any parts of its empire. It made unreasonable demands and laws that engendered fear in people. It fomented dissent among people, which was then quashed by the empire. And the government paid very little attention to the voices of the people. And yes, I am talking about 2,000 and 3,000 years ago, not today. Therefore, the Jewish people had long awaited some way to get out from under this oppression. They had long awaited a Messiah, a Savior, one who would come. And their scriptures were rife with images that predicted that someone would come to save them from their oppressors and restore their nation to wholeness. Now remember, they wanted somebody to rescue their nation. Make it great. Make it something that could rule over others. Listen to a few of the scriptures. They might be familiar to you. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will come forth for me one who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from old, from ancient days. From Isaiah, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Again from Isaiah, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the young woman, or some say virgin, shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And finally, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. Many of us are familiar with these passages because they are used in Christmas services to remind us of the prophecies of a coming Messiah. But the gospel writers took them as their own from the Hebrew scriptures and used them to suggest that Jesus was the Savior, the Messiah that they were waiting for. Therefore, hope for the Jewish people at that time was a man who would come in the line of David and be a king over their nation again and deliver them from other people. So they were looking for a man who would come to deliver their nation from other nations, from other people, to separate them. To be clear, the Jewish people of that day and of Jesus' day and of this day, still today, who believe in these prophecies are still waiting. They're still waiting for that Messiah to come. But a very small group of Jewish people believed that Jesus was that person, that he truly had come to liberate them as people, spoken to in the words of their prophets. And in time, they came to see in Jesus that God had given them actually more than they had expected. More than they expected. because they had given them not somebody who would liberate their nation and rule over them, because we all know that kings or rulers are usually oppressive over time. In time, they came to see that instead of a man who had come to save a nation, one nation, their own nation, that Jesus was sent by God to save everyone. To show us how to live in the world as it is, not as we would have it be. To learn to be better humans in the mess of life. He came to bring reconciliation, forgiveness, love for our enemies, compassion for our neighbors, fullness of life as it is. He did not come to rescue a nation. He came to rescue all. Not to separate nations, but to bring them together. When we speak of hope, the word hope, it's a pretty kind of facile concept. When we say that we hope that we win the lottery, or we hope that someone gets healed or well, or we hope that somebody wins the World Series, or we hope for the end of war, what we are really engaging in is not hope at all. We're engaging in magical thinking. Our hope amounts to nothing more than wishing that someone would come along and wield a magic wand and make things work out actually how we think they should work out, the way we want them to work out. And we know that that's not reality. Hope doesn't work that way. Hope is far more complicated. The hope that Jesus brought into the world did not bring about world peace. It didn't heal all diseases. It didn't take away pain and suffering. It didn't guarantee freedom from oppression or fear or addiction. The hope that Jesus brought doesn't much look like the hope that we think of when we use the word hope. If you get nothing but this, remember this. Hope is only necessary in the world when there is deep despair and hopelessness. We only need hope in the face of hopelessness. Otherwise, there's no need for hope. If everything was good and going our way, hope wouldn't be necessary. Yet hope is the thing that brings us together, that motivates us to come into community and change things. Hope is the connection that draws us towards creating a better world, and it is messy. The writer Chris Hedges says this: hope has a cost. Hope is not comfortable or easy. Hope requires personal risk. It's not about an attitude of hope. Hope is not about peace of mind. Hope is action. Hope is doing something. And the more futile, the more useless, the more irrelevant and incomprehensible an act of rebellion is, the vaster and more potent hope becomes. To see somebody do something in the face of a seemingly hopeless situation, and for them to stand up in that situation and try to do something about it, is the most hopeful thing we will ever see. He continues, hope never makes sense. Hope is weak, unorganized, and absurd. Hope, which is always nonviolent, exposes in its powerlessness, hope itself is powerless, exposes in its powerlessness the lies, fraud, and coercion implied by oppressive powers. Hope knows that an injustice visited on our neighbor is an injustice visited on all of us. hope then posits that people are drawn to the good by the good. Hope is drawn to the good by good people who dare to do something in the face of hopelessness. This, he says, is the secret of hope's power. Jesus came to show us how to live in a very messy world, in very messy lives. And then you know what he did? He turned it over to us. He turned the work of hope over to us. We are the hope of the world. I know that's very scary. You and I. Hope lives in the tension between how things are and how we know they could be. That's where hope lives, in seeing the way things are and imagining the way they could be and then doing something about it. Hope calls us out into the world to create what we know is possible. So hope, therefore, is possibility and action. Possibility and action. Not magic. We need a whole lot of this hope today. Hope that isn't afraid to see how the world really is and still want more. Hope that risks making a difference. If we want to see justice done, if we want to see our 2S LGBTQIA friends and family, our Indigenous siblings, our racialized minorities, and other oppressed groups so integrated into our communities and world that they cease to be anything but acknowledged and accepted for exactly who they are, and we don't even have to think about that anymore, then we have to make it so, because we're the hope. God will only be seen and recognized in the world when we, God's people, are doing the work of bringing the world together. Jesus was not a magician. God didn't fix the world through him the way we think the world should be fixed. He came to save us, to show us how to be our best in the world, to give us hope that even in dark times, abundant life really is possible. And now we are called to do the same. Our hope lies in our ability to do better, to change, to become the people we were meant to be, and then to bring about change in the world. So the question today is, what kind of change maker, hope bringer, are you going to be? Let's take a moment for reflection.